Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Craig Johnson, the creator of that great character Walt Longmire, the Vietnam veteran and sheriff of fictional Absaroka County, Wyoming. In this installment, it's called Land of Wolves, and it's available wherever books are sold. The action starts with several dead sheep and a dead Chilean immigrant in the Bighorn Mountains area of Wyoming. Craig, much of Wyoming is desolate land, and you touch upon in this book a phenomenon that can occur in a place such as that. What is sagebrushing?
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of these shepherds that have been brought in into these areas, traditionally, they've been Basque, because it's a strong shepherding area, in that Pyrenees mountain region between France and Spain. But with the economy being as strong as it is there these days, they haven't been getting so many shepherds from there. Most of them are coming up from South America. And it's a lonely job, it's a desperately lonely job, where these individuals are out there for 3 to 4 months at a time with really no human interaction. I mean, every once in a while, they may have someone who comes up, with supplies but, they're pretty deprived of any kind of, human interaction. And as good as that sounds sometimes, whenever we're sitting at a traffic jam or in line at the TSA or something it kind of wears on people, I think, after a certain period in time. And so there's a historic reference that they use. It's called sagebrush, and whenever these individuals become sagebrush, they sometimes become a little bit self-destructive, suicide is sometimes the result.
Well, growing up in Catholic school, my whole idea of a shepherd is really the biblical reference to the, that's the only idea I have of it. So is it that simple? Or, these shepherds that exist these days and the ones in the book, is it really just them and 100 sheep or 1,000 sheep or however many there are out there, and they just kind of watch them all day?
Pretty much. I mean, that's actually, a pretty good description, of what their life is like. There really isn't any kind of technology or anything that you can utilize out in that kind of a situation. It's one of those things that I always laugh about whenever people ask me and say, well, why doesn't Walt Longmire carry a cell phone? And my immediate response to that is always, you've never been to Wyoming, have you? Because there are certain limitations to technology whenever it's faced, with the vastness of the American West. I mean, there are just places where that technology just simply will not work. And that, a lot of times, is that mountainous region, along the Bighorns. If you have no service, then the cell phones don't work. And they basically live in these, the Basque, sheep wagon herders' wagons that really haven't changed all that much, since the 1880s. I mean, it's still the same basic lifestyle, that they lead. And that's part of the joy of, doing these type of books, is trying to, work in as much of the past, as much of the history, of the region as you can, kind of educate people about that type of thing as you're trying to tell a good story.
Well, and as the title Land of Wolves suggests, there's a wolf that's a character in this book. And here in Iowa, wolves are really unheard of. But how prevalent are they in Wyoming?
Oh, well, we've got Yellowstone National Park up here, with the reintroduction of the Arctic, Canadian wolf there. I think probably in the lower 48, we have the largest wolf population, I think, of any state in the U.S., with the possible exception of Alaska. There are, quite a few Now, of course, the mountain range that I'm talking about, the Bighorns, is a full basin away from Yellowstone, But, sometimes there are these rogue wolves, get run off from these packs. And I guess it's a sort of a natural process for these wolves, to be run off from these packs and these pecking orders from the alphas and the betas and all that type of thing But they get kicked off and head out to go look for another pack, unaware that, the world has changed, to such an extent that, there probably aren't any other packs that they can go and try and join. And the title of the book, actually, Land of Wolves, kind of refers back to, Walt's, kind of difficulties with himself, in the sense that the Basque proverb that it draws from is that a land of strangers is a land of wolves. And with Walt's experiences in the last book, Depth of Winter, he's kind of returned back to Absaroka County as kind of a stranger in a strange land and something of a stranger to himself, which makes for a little bit of difficulty for him to try and find his way back into the old life that he used to be involved in.
Well, I kind of scolded myself as I read it because, you know, the plot is something that I thought, well, this isn't a normal Longmire. But then I think law enforcement in Wyoming, there's no normal day, right?
Well, you got that right. Look, the only thing you absolutely have to be able to do, which I'm sure is probably the same thing where you are, like, is you have to be able to herd loose cattle like that with a cruiser. That's number one. You have to be able to do that. That's kind of a given like that. But, yeah, I think I kind of pride myself, to be honest, you know, with each book to try and do something a little bit different. You know, whenever you're writing a series, you know, one of the most important aspects to try and keep those characters fresh, like, and keep them, you know, alive, is to allow them to develop, allow them to change, allow them to, you know, go through some, you know, crises, look at, and then, you know, develop, you know, the same way that, you know, real human beings do, you know, and to guard against, you know, that kind of formula type of writing where you're just doing the same thing over and over again.
Well, so many of these book series, the different installments, they always follow the same pattern. There's a crime, there's an investigation, and the protagonist wins at the end with the same MO as all the previous books, and you don't follow that formula with Longmire. Why is that?
Well, I think that, you know, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, and sometimes it's kind of difficult to tell the difference, you know, in these situations. I think it's a little bit more of an honest, you know, portrayal of, you know, what law enforcement, you know, especially, you know, in the contemporary American West, is really like. And, you know, that each storyline is going to dictate, you know, a certain amount of that. And I think you got to follow that storyline and just kind of see where it goes.
Longmire was developed for the small screen, first on A&E and then most recently on Netflix, and it's currently on hiatus. What did the television development do for your book series as far as attracting new readers?
Oh, it's, you know, I mean, there's something to be said, you know, for Hollywood in that, you know, I mean, it's difficult for the publishing industry to, you know, to contact, you know, 5 to 6 million people a night. You know, and whenever the TV show first started out, you know, on basic cable, you know, it was kind of interesting. I mean, it was a little worrisome, too, like that, you know, whenever the producers, you know, came and Warner Brothers knocked on the door and said, you know, we want to make a TV show out of the, you know, your books that are about the sheriff of the least populated county in the least populated state in America. You know, that, I didn't know if that was going to work or not, like that, but they did a remarkable job in, you know, in putting the show together. And, you know, it's a little bit different, you know, from the books like that, which I kind of assumed that that, you know, would probably be the case. You know, I kind of went in with my eyes open, realizing that there would be some differences like that. But the tone and the feel and the characters and the place all kind of remained the same like that. And it's been amazing like that. I mean, there's so many people that write me or call me and say, you know, I'm really sorry, I didn't know about your books, but I found them, you know, through the television show on Netflix. Look at, and, you know, I'm always telling them, you don't have to apologize. You found me. That's the important part.
I'm chatting with Craig Johnson about his brand new book, Land of Wolves. It's the latest in the Walt Longmire series. The book's available now wherever your fine books are sold. Craig, how much can a TV version of a current book series influence how the character is written in subsequent books? And is that something you have to avoid or embrace?
Well, I mean, you know, I had written, I think, 7 of the books, you know, before the television show came along. And, you know, one of my favorite quotes about writing is the one by Wallace Stegner where he says, the greatest piece of fiction ever written is the disclaimer at the beginning of every book that says, nobody in this book is based off anybody alive or dead. You know, I mean, that's kind of your job, you know, to go find people, you know, and include them as characters in your books. And so an awful lot of the characters that are in the books are like, you know, family members, friends, people I've worked with. And it's very difficult, you know, for actors to kind of supplant that. So I just continued on, you know, with the arc and with the characters that I've got. Even though, you know, with the amount of time that I've spent, you know, with the actors, you know, I mean, they all come up to Buffalo, Wyoming for Longmire days, which is every bit the disaster that you're imagining right now. Imagine a small town of about 4,000 people in northern Wyoming with, you know, all of these movie stars and TV stars and 20,000 of their closest friends. It's kind of like a FEMA disaster like that, but it's really kind of a wonderful experience like that, and kind of gives you a little bit of an indication, you know, as to what the relationship is like between the books and the television show, and between, you know, myself and the performers like that, and the producers and directors. It's a pretty tight-knit group like that that have gotten along, you know, famously. It's kind of a surprise when you know, think about the history of, you know, writers in Hollywood. You know, sometimes those two just don't mix. But we were extraordinarily fortunate to have, you know, some really amazing people working on the show, and they became friends and continue to be friends to this day.
Well, you know, you mentioned Longmire days, and I've read about that. I've never been to it, but the whole idea of all these people descending upon an area that is, it's an inspiration. I mean, it's not a fictional area. This isn't even like visiting a movie set. This is like visiting something that just sort of inspired you. So what goes on there that these people, I mean, are they looking for real locations of the folks that show up for this?
Oh yeah, I mean the ZB Cafe is right there on Main Street. Like, you know, the little Carnegie Library is right there behind the City Hall. You know, they had a big exhibit, you know, at the Jim Gadgil Museum about the history of Longmire and all of these things. And so, you know, the town and the area has kind of embraced, you know, the character, which is really kind of wonderful. And my goodness, like there's events, like at panels, you know, and discussions and autograph sessions and, you know, Cowboys versus Indians, you know, a softball game and, horseback riding, like that, and it goes on and on and on. But I think it's, you know, in many ways simply because, you know, the books are so, you know, geocentric. I mean, and, you know, there's a very distinct place. And even though Absaroka County doesn't really exist and the city of Durant doesn't really exist, Buffalo and Johnson County do exist. Like, and a lot of people, you know, they identify it, you know, very readily. I mean, I remember talking with the Office of Tourism there for the state of Wyoming. They came up for one of the events, like, and they were telling me that the reason they liked my book so much was because I don't use fake roads, I don't make up, you know, mountain ranges or towns or anything like that. Even though it's a fictitious town, you know, you can follow the, you know, the road maps, you know, right over top of Johnson County and Buffalo, like that, or the trailheads, you know, up into the Bighorn Mountains and all those things, and actually see all the places where the books take place and the exact spots where they take place. And so, you know, that's a little bit of a challenge, you know, because I don't have the liberty of, you know, kind of making things up as I go along. But then again, you know, there's also an honesty to that, you know, that I think makes the books maybe a little bit more enjoyable for people.
You used a term there, and it triggered something in my mind. You used Indian, and a lot of people are trained to say Native American now. I have a friend who's Indian, lives in New Mexico, and he laughs at any time somebody calls him a Native American, because he just that's not how it works. That's a thing out west there, that Indians don't like Native American, right?
No, my buddies up on the Northern Cheyenne, they tend to make fun of me whenever I try and be politically correct. They're always looking at me and going, "Where were you born?" And I always say, "Well, I was born in America." And they're like, "Yeah, well, you know, that would make you a Native American too then, wouldn't it?" Like, 9 times out of 10, you know, I think it's much more important, you know, to the natives, like that, you know, that you get the tribal designation right. I mean, you don't want to call somebody who's Northern Cheyenne Crow, like that, or you don't want to call a Crow, you know, a Blackfoot or something like that. You want to make sure you get those designations correct, like that. But you know, that's the stock and trade that goes along with it. I mean, the books and the television show are extraordinarily popular up on the Northern Cheyenne and Crow reservations. Like, and I think that, you know, one of the main reasons is because, you know, for me, they're human beings. They're not, you know, just, you know, set dressing for the books. Like, yeah, these are incredible people, amazing people, and, you know, the opportunity to include them in my books, you know, is an honesty, I think, like that, you know, I don't think I'd be able to write the books and not include them, because they are such a part of the world, you know, that I live in.
To write a series like this, I think you have to have a fundamental understanding of just human nature in general, and I get the sense that you do on the pages. Do you get that same sense as you go about your normal discourse in life outside of the writing?
Oh my goodness! Like that's a tough question. I don't know. I like to think I do, like that, but you know that would be, you know, that would be quite a feat. Like you know, understanding the world that you're creating is one thing, and understanding the world around you might be something different. I don't know. You know, for me, like that, you know, a lot of it comes down to those characters, though, like that, and that constant pursuit and personal education of, like, you know, trying to learn, you know, about people as much as you can. I mean, you know, whenever I first started the series, like that, I knew it was going to be a bit of a challenge, like that, because, I mean, I'm writing a series about, you know, the sheriff of the least populated county, least populated state. But, you know, that also was going to force me to deal more with, you know, character and place. And, you know, those two things are the things that I think where the best writing comes from. You know, that they're indicators, like that, to, you know, all of the more important things in life. And so for me, it's a challenge, like that, but it's one I readily accept, because, as I said, you know, I just think that's where the best writing comes from.
All right, the book is Land of Wolves. It's the latest Longmire book from author Craig Johnson. It's available now wherever your fine books are sold. And if you haven't checked out the television series, check it out. It's all on Netflix as well. Craig, fantastic offering in the Longmire series here. Thanks for joining us to talk about it.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.